So we put together a registry on something called Wayfair to send out for people to choose and buy whatever they wanted to for the house to furnish it. And within 30 days of us sending out that registry, everything was drop shipped to our house, and it was filled with everything that we needed to supply what we needed to give to the women of Baby Steps. We still had to trust a lot during that time, though, because we thought, oh, we're going to open the doors and there are going to be women here right away who need us. But it took a year. It took a year of a lot of prayer and trust for that to happen. And I think that was because the university and students and like people needed to know who we were, and they needed to know that they could trust us and that our desire to love them and to help them be successful students and moms took time for them to realize that we really meant what we were saying.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Native Soil. We continue our season reflecting upon the poor on our native soil. And I'm so happy to welcome today somebody the Lord connected me with right when I was ordained up at St. Michael's in Auburn, a wonderful lady, Michelle Schultz. Welcome to Native Soil, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Are you so excited?
I'm so excited.
Well, wonderful. Well, I've got the chance to know you pretty well over these years, but for those who are listening, this is their first time hearing the name Michelle Schultz. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I am originally from Coleman, Alabama. I grew up there, and I'm the youngest of two. I have two older brothers, and I grew up Methodist and came to Auburn in the early 80s to go to school. And while I was in school my junior year, I met my husband, Matt, and we've been married for 32 years. We have six children. The oldest is about to be 30 and the youngest is 11. We have five boys and one girl. And we converted to the Catholic faith when Hanson, who's 29 right now, was a newborn. So the Easter after he was born, we converted to the Catholic faith and came into the church.
It's amazing. And one of your sons, one of our seminarians, Joseph, in his fourth year. So we're happy to have him on board. We could do a whole episode on this, but give people the cliff notes of what brought y'all into the Catholic Church.
So people ask us frequently what brought us in, and we really and truly, it was just the example of a lot of people that God put in front of us. My life as a child growing up, for me, we were from Coleman. And if anybody knows anything about Coleman, it's a rather Catholic town. And so I was surrounded by a lot of Catholics my whole life. My parents, although Methodists, were really respectful of the church when I was growing up. So I learned little bits and pieces about the church as a child. And when Matt and I, shortly after we got married, we were not going to church, and we were really just searching for where we were called, and what there was this emptiness that we couldn't quite figure out what it was. And during all that time, we kept experiencing these very Catholic traditions. And they were, at that time, we didn't know, but they were the sacraments. I had a cousin that was really close to that got married in the Catholic Church. My best friend died from an aneurysm very suddenly at 25, and she was a devoted Catholic. And really, that was like what catapulted me more than anything closer to the church, because I'm at her funeral. The priest who buried her had given her all of her sacraments.
Oh, wow.
Really impacted me. And at that time, her husband that she had just married 3 months before, people were really questioning about whether or not it was a good fit for her and whether they were going to be good for each other. And at that time, I thought at the funeral, wow, like God's probably going to really move in his life and change him. But really what it was it changed me.
Right.
And impacted me. And then Matt and I lived in a neighborhood where we're literally surrounded by six Catholics that went to St. Michael's, and they were all in different places, but they were all just really incredible witnesses to us. And so just the example of a lot of people drew us into the church.
Beautiful. And we want to get to kind of this mission, you know, that the Lord has got you doing, but tell us that little chapter too. You served as youth minister for a long time at St. Michael's, and how did that call come upon you? How did you go from Coleman? Great accent, by the way. I think everyone should appreciate your good Southern accent from Coleman, Alabama, and very native soil. And, you know, you become Catholic, you have all these Catholic neighbors. How did you wind up being the youth minister at St. Michael's for how long?
18 years.
18 years. Okay. How did that happen?
I just got to say, I love looking back on this. It's really been beautiful to look back on all the things and be reminded of all the things that God's done over these years. But this will kind of segue into baby steps too. But shortly after we came into the church, the people that sponsored us, one of the last things they said before they left was, make sure that you get involved in the church. And I really didn't realize what that meant at the time. And within a few months after Grissom, our third son, was born, we were at church one morning, and the campus minister at St. Michael's at that time, Vicki Bowling, passed me in the hallway and said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about you and your husband being the parent couple for our campus ministry retreat, Ponte Vino." And we were like, sure, like, we'll do it. And lots of little yeses along the way. And we knew they wanted us to give a witness talk on marriage and family. And we knew that we needed to share something about our relationship that we had never really shared with anybody, except when we had come into the church and shared it in confession. And what it was that when I was a junior at Auburn, I had gotten pregnant, and Matt wanted to get married. He was 4 years older than me. We were already planning to get married. He wanted to do the right thing. But I was in a really dark place and didn't feel like it was the right thing for us to do. I wanted to finish school. I didn't think my parents would ever understand. I was just convinced that it was not the right thing to do. And what I say now frequently is that I bought a lie, the lie that still continues to happen right now. And the long and short of it was I chose to terminate my pregnancy. Matt wanted to get married, but he also trusted that I was going to, you know, he stood by my side in that decision. And so we shared that story at Ponte Vino, and about how the Lord had worked and all that. It nearly ripped us apart. We went through a whole lot of steps to heal and to find a place where we could recognize that the Lord was at work and all that. And so
it's okay. I know that's a way to
there's so much of it, but I guess I just want to say it was really beautiful, because through Ponte Vino and through sharing our story, we were able to see like the way the Lord had healed us through all of that. And in that healing and being able to be real in that story over the years, it started bringing high school and college students to us to share their own circumstances where they had friends or they themselves were pregnant, which brought us to baby steps and the desire to do something that we recognized it was really needed. So back up a few years, you know, there were 18 years in between all that where we were doing CYO, and I started leading CYO, and that came to pass because after we did Ponte Vino, we got really connected in campus ministry and started serving there, and our kids were involved in campus ministry, and Matt and I opened a restaurant during that time that we really felt called to through a whole lot of prayer, and the restaurant closed. It was a very, very difficult time for us. We had to sell everything. We lost everything, and I needed to go back to work. I'd been at home with the kids and had really been involved in indirect ways at the church. And because we were doing stuff with campus ministry, I thought maybe that's where I'm called to. And so I went to then the campus minister, who was the priest that was over campus ministry, and literally sat at his across him at his desk and begged him to take me for the position that was open for campus minister. And he told me that he couldn't. And I didn't understand at the time. Shortly after that, what I didn't know was that the youth minister at St. Michael's that had been there for 12 years was leaving. And Father Sophie was there at that time, and he had already had my name dropped. Somebody had put my name into the pot that he should approach me about doing youth ministry, or be the youth ministry coordinator. And so the reason that the priest over campus ministry had said no was because Father Sophie had already mentioned that he was going to offer this position to me. And so Father Sophie approached me and he said, I'd like to know if you're interested in this job, and I'll give you some time to pray about it. And I said, I have to say yes. Like, I've been praying about this and I thought it was campus ministry, but I have to say yes. Like, obviously this is where the Lord wants me. And it's so clear to me that if I did campus ministry, it was very, very comfortable to me, and it was a safe place, so I felt really comfortable, but not youth ministry. And so because of that, I knew and really believed that the Lord wanted to use me in that, because I would be vulnerable and have to trust him a whole lot, because it wasn't the place that I was comfortable at all. And so I said yes and started doing youth ministry, and never dreamed that it would be for 18 years, but it was, and it was a great gift during that time.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, one thing caught my ear as you were talking to you, you said, it's a story of many little yeses. And I think for people listening, that's a really important thing to key in on, is the Lord many times, he doesn't show us where this is all going, you know, but he asks us to say yes at all these little junctures. But, you know, you had to say yes to Catholicism. You know, there was something, the Lord brought that, and then you had to say yes, and they said, you know, get involved. And then you had to say yes to do that talk with Ponte Vino. And then when the Lord put on your heart to share that most vulnerable and personal dark time of your life, you know, with the abortion, you had to say yes to that. Then you had to say yes to, you know, what you sense was what you're supposed to do, campus ministry. But then you had to say yes to what the Lord had in mind, which was actually high school ministry. You said yes to the restaurant, you know, and then that closed, and that was frustrating. But I don't know. That's a beautiful part of your story, of the Lord kind of leading you step by step and kind of giving you these opportunities to heal and to grow along the way. Until, like you said, this whole thing with baby steps, which we're going to talk about eventually, it was kind of brewing the whole time, you said. And one, it kind of reminds me, talked with Sister Cecilia, the Little Sisters, but she was telling the story of St. John Jagan. And the Lord had put a sense on her heart when she was like 18 that there was some work she was supposed to do for the poor. But it wasn't until she was 47 that the Lord really revealed what it was. And that's a very, I just feel similar movement of the Spirit listening to you, of he really made you wait for a while before he kind of brought this to fruition. So maybe we could kind of transition there of how did, it sounds like from the time when y'all shared originally, you and Matt both had a sense that this was an issue, a space that maybe the Lord was calling you to serve, would you say?
Absolutely.
And then, so how did that come to the forefront, to the point where you made that decision to leave youth ministry to begin this new mission, which is a change, because this isn't a ministry. It's not a ministry of the church. This is a nonprofit. This is a mission to a very concrete need in society. So obviously, how did that come about? Sorry, I'm running my mouth.
So over those years after we shared it on Ponte Vino, and I was the youth ministry's coordinator, we recognize that we need to start sharing it with high school students, and at what point was appropriate to share it. And so we started sharing it every year at the senior beach retreat. And it was beautiful. There were beautiful things that came from it that are still very clear fruit from that time. But there was just still this unceasing desire and belief that there was something more that we were supposed to do. And Matt was feeling it too, but it was just unceasing. And I just kept praying, like, what do you want? What do you want, Lord? And one day I was literally driving to the church on my way to work, and I was driving through campus, very near where the house is right now. And it just came to me, and it had to be the Holy Spirit, because it's the only thing that makes any kind of sense. And it was that there was this need that wasn't being met at that time, I thought, just in Auburn, on Auburn's campus for Auburn's student women who are in unplanned pregnancies, who need whatever means necessary. And at that time, I thought just housing to be able to have their baby and have their education. And so I thought, well, this is simple. Like, we can do this, and we can come up with a home and the ability to be able to provide resources and just love them where they are, so that they can finish school and have their baby. And again, it was all this series of little yeses. That was in 2013. So from 2013 to 2017, when we opened the doors, I continued to work at the church and continue to just like pray through what the Lord wanted. And he just kept opening up these little doors and affirming what the journey was supposed to look like, and bringing people to us that had such clear purpose in it, until 2017. And 2017 was when we opened the doors and gave the ability for student moms that needed a place to live and a home, a place to live that's beautiful and peaceful, and a place that they can feel loved and valued and have a community of people to surround and support them. So here we are.
It's incredible. It's all kind of materialized. Just paint the picture of what is Baby Steps exactly. Who do you serve? Where is it located? What are the dimensions of these young women's lives that y'all are trying to support or address?
Okay. So we, like I said, so the mission of Baby Steps is to serve student moms and of course the fathers who want to be involved, absolutely, but who are pregnant or parenting that are trying to finish school and have their baby. And what we've learned over the years is there's two different needs. There's a need for student moms who need housing and like need some really intense support that's very hands-on. And then there's a population of student parents who need support either through their pregnancy or after they've had their baby, that are looking for community and looking to know that they're not alone and be able to be connected to whatever their needs are. And so we serve both those communities that have united them together. And that was not originally what we thought it was. The big things that we do to serve student moms who live at Baby Steps that is very impactful is their rent is paid for, their groceries and utilities are free. They have to be full-time students. They have to keep a 2.5 GPA. Our goal is to help them finish school and make things I don't want to use a term easy as possible, but make things possible for them to be able to be successful mothers and parents for the future. And so we pay for full-time daycare for their babies so that they can go to school, be on campus, be students, do their homework and all their responsibilities for school, and then come home at night and be moms and be present to their children. That was not the original vision and what we thought it would be. I thought it would be simple. Like, we'll have volunteers and we'll have just people come in and volunteer to take care of student moms' children while they're in class. But that was quickly clear that it's much more complicated than that. There are a lot of variables in that circumstance. And also, the chance for student moms to just know that their babies are taken care of, they're in a safe place, they get to choose from three daycares which ones they want their baby to go to, and to just be able to be fully present as students during the day, kind of like a job, like their job.
Right.
Other thing that we offer is counseling. We have a couple of marriage and family counselors that we've gotten connected through the university who have a heart for what we do. And so student moms that live at the house get free counseling. They're required to have three sessions. And originally we said we would offer them up to 10, but we realized that some need more than that. And so after those three sessions, then if they choose to, they can continue to have counseling, see their counselor through the time that they're at Baby Steps.
Wow.
A lot of people ask whether or not the fathers can go to that counseling. And absolutely, if the fathers are involved and we're trying to help them to either have a healthy relationship or to figure out how to co-parent, then they're involved in those sessions also.
That's beautiful. And so you have volunteers from the community, from Auburn University. Where are these volunteers coming from?
Yes, we have a campus club. We are an official campus club. And so there are 80 students that are involved in that club. And many of them are people who have gone through the steps to babysit. They do all kinds of things for the students. They do birthday cards and deliver gifts to them on their birthdays. The campus club helps organize for, we have a baby boutique where student moms who are involved in us, whether they live at the house or in the Baby Steps community, they organize that baby boutique so that student moms can come and shop there. It's beautiful.
Didn't one of the Auburn, like Miss Auburn, somebody who was like running for Miss Auburn, didn't she choose Baby Steps as kind of her nonprofit? As her platform?
She did. Yeah, she did. Maggie Smith back in 2017, the first year that we were open, which was so great. It gave us so much exposure on campus. And then we have all kinds of volunteers in the community, too, who bring in meals. We have like a meal train set up so that people can either have meals to deliver to the house or they can drop off meals. We also have events where we need babysitters to help with the babies so that moms can have a break during those events that we offer, which are pretty much weekly, and they're all in varying degrees, but you can do babysitting for that also. And so we have students that volunteer to do that, but we also have people in the community that volunteer.
It's amazing. What an amazing witness. You know, we started this season reflecting on the Good Samaritan. And the thing about the Good Samaritan is he allowed the needs of that, you know, beat up person in the ditch to make his priorities for the day. You know, he let the needs of the poor in his midst determine how he was going to allocate his resources of his time and of, you know, his material resources. And it wasn't just meeting the basic, it's kind of above and beyond. You know, he takes care of them, he gets them in the inn, he leaves more money for the next couple of days. I'm going to come back and check on you. And I couldn't help but think of that as you're describing all these different factors of volunteers. It's just such a wonderful witness and example, I think, of living the love. You know, loving your neighbor is really an all-encompassing reality, you know. And we talk kind of about the preferential option for the poor, but allowing the poor to really kind of get a hold of our hearts and dictate what they need, you know. And I don't know. I just, it's amazing. Like you said, when you started, you didn't even realize what all would be involved. But I guess as you go and pick that person out of the ditch, you start to realize what all they need. And I think many times in life, it's way more than you would imagine. Like, to love somebody is going to require much more than you think. Has there been something that's particularly surprised you? Like, man, I never would have thought that this would be a part of this mission.
Well, I think probably the most impactful thing for me is, you know, now we've had several moms that have been with us from the time they were pregnant until now they're still in school and their babies are almost 2 years old.
Wow.
And one of those moms in particular, and it's hard to pick, there are a lot of beautiful stories, but one of those moms in particular came pregnant a couple of years ago. Her baby just turned two. And when she came pregnant, her mom actually called me and said that she was very upset that she was pregnant. She's an engineering student. And she said, you know, like, the only way she is going to finish school and the only way she's going to be at Auburn is if she's there at baby steps. Can you help us? Well, that was way outside what we would have thought, you know, like everything is not black and white. And so she came to live with us and she just got engaged and she's getting married in March. But the beautiful thing was to watch from the point where her family and his family were very upset and distressed, and they needed time to heal and time to just wrap their head around what was happening and like the massive change in both of their lives. But to go to a baby shower with both those families united together and the tension of it. And then just a few weeks ago to go to a birthday party for her, who is now two, and see the ways that the families have healed and the ways that it's so true that people just need time. And in the midst of that time that people need to heal, we need to be there to love those women and help them to be equipped to be everything that they can possibly be, to be healthy moms and women in the world.
Oh, it's wonderful. And another thing you said caught my ear is, you know, the Lord provided at so many junctures, it kind of opened doors. You're talking about Him opening doors. And I think when we're answering the call of the Lord, when we're serving the poor, one thing that can hold us back is, I don't know how this is going to work out. Or I don't feel like I'm equipped. Kind of like you felt going to youth ministry. It's like, I don't feel like I'm equipped. So you really had to rely on the Lord. Could you tell a story maybe of like maybe one particular way the Lord has provided for this mission to develop? Maybe something that comes to mind of one way you just saw the Lord just open a door to make this possible?
Okay. So the house that we live in is we don't own it, but it's right in the historical district of just a few blocks from the heart of campus. Right. And when I started trying to pursue what we thought baby steps would look like, we started thinking that we would look for a house that we would buy. And like, that would be how we started it. But that wasn't the way that the Lord wanted to work in all that. And so one day, one Sunday after church, I was driving towards campus on my way home, and there was a sign in the front yard that said for rent. And I reached out to the guy that owned the property, and he said, you know, come and look at it. And it had all the pieces that I thought, little and more really, all the pieces that I thought was what the Lord wanted for us. And so I went to the board and we met over there and we went and looked at it and said, this is not what we thought it was supposed to be. We thought we were going to buy something where we're going to wait. But maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to open the doors and see what the Lord's going to do. And so we signed a lease. And in the midst of all that, we're just trying to figure out what's it going to look like. We don't have anybody on staff to live with the moms because we know we want someone to live there with the moms. And my friend Sarah Schmidt now dropped into the picture, who was somebody I already had a relationship with. The Lord just clearly brought her back to Auburn to help us begin that journey. And then the other really beautiful thing about all of it is we knew that we wanted to have the house not extravagantly decorated, but a place where people came in and felt like they could really live there and be loved and feel comfortable. And so we put together a registry on something called Wayfair to send out for people to choose and buy whatever they wanted to for the house to furnish it. And within 30 days of us sending out that registry, everything was drop shipped to our house, and it was filled with everything that we needed to supply what we needed to give to the women a baby step. We still had to trust a lot during that time though, because we thought, oh, we're going to open the doors and there are going to be women here right away who need us. But it took a year of a lot of prayer and trust for that to happen. And I think that was because the university and students and like people needed to know who we were, and they needed to know that they could trust us and that our desire to love them and to help them be successful students and moms took time for them to realize that we really meant what we were saying.
Oh, praise God. And I think that's another important point is when we want to help the poor, sometimes I think we want to do it and feel good about it right away. You know, we want to go out and give them some food and have a big hug, and we all love each other now. And it doesn't always unfold so quickly, you know. And I like how you said sometimes you have to win people's trust. You have to kind of win the right to serve the poor, because you kind of have to prove that you're actually there for the right reasons, or you're there for the long haul and not just whatever. So I think that's a great point of your story for other people listening. You know, it doesn't always unfold all. We're kind of in that, we like that immediate gratification, even in our ministry or our missions. And I think that's a good word for people to meditate on too. The Lord might ask you to do something. It might take some time before it really kind of takes off. Mm-hmm. Which might lead to, you had mentioned before, you always thought this would just be something in Auburn. So is this in your vision, or is there an idea that this might happen other places? Or, I mean, I'm sure every college campus in the country has this poverty, but where's the thought, if you can talk about that some?
I just thought it was as simple. We're just going to do this and we're going to offer this to women here, and we haven't seeked out expanding. People are seeking us. And so multiple people in multiple cities and a couple of different states have reached out and said, hey, are you considering expanding? We'd like to duplicate what you're doing on our campus. And we have continued to kind of build a list of people that are interested, and recognize about this time last year that we seriously needed to start figuring out what it would look like to create a footprint that other people could duplicate. And so about 4 or 5 months ago, we just started very intentionally trying to put together what that plan would look like and what we could offer people to be able to do what we're doing. And we need a lot of prayer for it, because we're trying to figure out what does that look like?
Right.
And is it we want to really have our hands in, or is it something that we want to be on the peripheral of it? And we work really hard, and we've learned a lot, and we've made mistakes, and we've figured out things that are beautiful and work, and things that you really don't need to do. And so everything that we've done has come with great purpose and prayer. And we want to share that with people and just have to try to figure out what that looks like. But right. It's on the horizon for sure.
No, well, everyone listening, let's join our prayers, you know, to help y'all navigate this next step, you know, this path of many yeses and steps and God's provision. What would you say it is you want to share? What have you learned? What has the Lord taught you about the poverty, this particular kind of poverty? And the people who are listening, you know, how can that kind of sink into their own hearts as they look at this, but maybe look at poverty in their life in general? Like, what have you learned from all this, and what are you hoping to share with others through this?
I think that, and I knew this maybe because of my own journey with an unplanned pregnancy, but I think just coming to understand that there's just truly not a black and white to the story of an unplanned pregnancy. Everybody comes with their own circumstances and issues, and some are really, really messy and some aren't so messy. And everybody that's in that circumstance are just real people who, whether they were in a relationship with somebody or they know who the father is, they're all in different places, and everybody needs to just be loved where they are.
Right.
Yeah, it's just so clear that it's not a black and white issue. And if the greatest thing that we can do is to equip people to be ready to be good parents, and not, it's just so much more.
Right. Yeah. And it strikes me as pretty messy. Like you said, it's not one size fits all. You got to meet people where they are. And that's just going to be, that's going to take a lot of faith because you're stepping into somebody's situation and it's going to be different every time. And the other part I really like about this is, you know, part of being Catholic, part of being, you know, there's a strong pro-life emphasis. But I think that real challenge is, okay, we want everyone to have their babies, but are we willing to let those babies reprioritize our lives, you know, to come up with these systems to support people in their unique situations? Because like you said, it's not a one size fits all. And that's why God has so many people who are supposed to be brothers and sisters, so many people looking at their neighbors and saying, well, how can I help this neighbor? How can I help this neighbor? And I think it's just a really creative movement of the Spirit that he's done in you to hone in on this particular, you know, and also that he has worked through your own personal, like your darkest moment in college. And the fact that he would reach into that and transform it into this new kind of fountain of grace for so many people, I think is such a beautiful thing and something he wants to do in a lot of our lives. You know, if people listening, things that you've experienced that you're ashamed of or that you think like, oh, what a dark part of my story. The Lord wants to reach into our own poverty and make us more capable of helping other people in that same poverty. That's how good he is. You know, like that's, he's a God of mercy. It's just, you can't understand it, but, so I think it's a wonderful witness on many levels, but definitely it's taken a lot of courage and trust and messiness and figuring out to come into the world.
I think something else that people need to know and realize, and something that we didn't know, is, you know, a lot of times women choose to have their baby and they think they can do it. But then once the reality of like a baby's here and you're trying to work and you're trying to go to school and you're trying to drive 20 miles away or 30 miles away, like there's sometimes you think you can do it, but then you're drowning. And I think that happens a lot of times. And that was that's a different face of baby steps that we didn't realize is it's, you know, it's frequent that moms have had their babies, but they're about to crash and they're perfectly capable of finishing school. And so if they have a place to come where they can have the support they need to finish school, then they can do that.
No, it's an incredibly beautiful thing. And not everybody has those resources from their family or from their close connections, you know? And so I think all the more, you know, we're called to be brothers and sisters for one another and to put our gifts at the needs of our neighbor, who's ever proximate to us. So that's, I think, a good thing for us listening. You know, let the Lord give us, like he said, the eyes of faith to see as he sees and kind of open our eyes to see, you know, the young mothers in our own lives that might just need some help, might just need to be encouraged, might just need to say in the checkout line, like, yeah, you have the most beautiful kid, you know, like, how are you doing? Whatever it may be, you know, it's just keep that on our radar as Christian people, you know, looking on our native soil, like, you know, what's the Lord want to do with us? For people who are listening, kind of with that in mind, who might feel moved by your story, they want to get involved, they want to support y'all or volunteer, what would be the best way to do that?
The best way would be to reach out to our website, baby-steps.org, and there is a tab for volunteering if you wanted to volunteer. I know a lot of people probably listening don't live here in Auburn, but even when you sign up for meals, you can give gift cards. We always need diapers and wipes. We supply diapers and wipes for all those moms, whether they live in the house or not. We have the baby boutique, and we've realized that it's really important for them to know that they don't need seconds, they need firsts. And so new baby clothes are always needed. You can always drop me a text. I'm so happy to give my number, 334-559-8277, and say, hey, I'd like to help. What can I do? And I'll be happy to find something that you could do, be it somewhere long distance or right here in Auburn.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, that's good. Well, yeah, y'all listening, you know, definitely pray for this mission and Think about, you know, how you might be called to be part of it, or maybe you're listening from somewhere else. Maybe you're going to be part of this expansion thing that's still being figured out. You never know how the Lord might want to work through you listening to Michelle's story here. Well, this is a blessing. There's so much more we could talk about, but maybe final question. Did you bring some soil to share with us?
I did.
All right, there it is. And tell us, what soil did you choose? Where is it from and why'd you pick it?
Well, it's from three places, from the church, and from our home right here where I'm sitting, and from the property at Baby Steps. And I choose all three of those, one because the church is like our second home and a very the place where I want to seek the Lord and seek what he wants for my family, and also for Baby Steps and our home, which we landed in 20 years ago in a crisis, thinking that we would just be here for a few years. And it's our home. Like, I don't ever want to leave. And so it's where I learned to be a mom and be a good parent, and Matt and I raise our children and our family together. And then the third place, of course, is Baby Steps. And when I chose that soil, we don't own that property, but in the deepest part of my heart, there are just so many signs that indicate that it will be one day ours. Then that's where we are now, and hopefully in the future.
Praise God. That's some rich soil right there. Those are good things. And I love it too, just in the spirit of native soil, you know, look at the fruits of being where you are. You know, that's kind of one of the themes we keep coming back to, is like, wherever you are, you know, if you're listening, be there, be a part of it, be a part of it so much so that when you talk about it, it makes you well up with tears because you love it so much and you can't even understand your life outside of it, because that is where God is working in your life. That is where God is moving and making you Catholic and giving you children and discovering your vocation and building new missions. Like, that place is where God is with you, loving you and working through you, you know. And it's so many things kind of converging in this interview, but I think it's just very much the spirit of, you know, native soil, and I all those listening just hope it can bless you and inspire you to be open to how God, not if he wants to use you, but just how does he want to use you to be a blessing to your neighbor, to your family, you know, on your native soil, wherever you are. So wonderful. Well, hold up that soil. I want to bless it. I want to bless you, Baby Steps. And then sometime I'm in Auburn, I'll come harvest it and we'll add it to our wonderful collection down here. In the studio. Sound good?
Yep.
Michelle, thank you so much for doing this. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to know you all these years, and I'm so glad the rest of the diocese and beyond get to know you better as well. So let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we just lift you up on high for all your blessings. Thank you for Michelle. Thank you for bringing her to Auburn. Thank you for bringing her and Matt to Auburn, for their children, for their conversion, for all these years of involvement, for all the little yeses and the courage that you gave them over the years to say these yeses, for the healing that you wrought in their lives, you know, through that dark moment. And now how you've transformed in your mercy to be this blessing and Baby Steps for so many young mothers who are seeking to raise their children amidst all the difficulties there. We just ask your special blessing upon Michelle, upon Matt, upon their family, upon Baby Steps and all those that it serves, for special guidance and this new phase of figuring out how it might be shared with the world outside of Auburn. We just ask your blessing. And we entrust all of it to the Blessed Mother, she who holds us all in her hands, she who gives us Christ from her womb. May she be with all the mothers that are served in this ministry in a special way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And through her powerful intercession, the intercession of St. Michael. May what God bless you, baby steps, and all those listening, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, God bless y'all, and look forward to having y'all back here with us on Native Soil.